Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so if you missed out what popped up over there yesterday, swing on by. It's still hanging out over there for you to read. But, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, follow it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And, hey, you went all the way over there. Go ahead and give that a like. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. I mean, come on, what else would it be? Dan and I are also on Twitter. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with too many E's.
So, all right, Dan, I have my my own foil hat conspiracy here that I have to run by you. I have decided that for whatever reason, the players, the Major League Baseball players, do not want to have a season this year. And, you know, I found it very interesting. You know, Tony Clark, the players' vice president, you know, the Players Association vice president, and Rob Manfred, who, of course, is the commissioner of Major League Baseball, they sat down for a couple hours, and it looked like they had everything worked out. You know, they came up with the 60-game season. The players were going to get their full prorated pay, which is what they were crying about all along. And the interesting thing that came out of it is not only were they going to allow the DH for the 2020 shortened season, but it would also be in play for all of 2021. So we were getting the full-time DH even before the new CBA came in. So I thought, okay, no big deal. We're going to get some kind of crappy baseball that I'm not really going to be interested in. That, you know, and the key to that deal being approved was the fact that the players could not file this $1 million grievance that they wanted to file against the owners. But then all of a sudden, the players magically counter with this 70-game proposal out of nowhere. So, why didn't they come up with this earlier? Because obviously now you've got the owners to agree to the pay you want, so I don't have to listen to you whine about that. You're getting the DH, so we don't have to listen to the media piss and moan about how pitchers can't play baseball. You know, the only thing that's holding you up is you can't file this $1 million grievance, which I seem to think they want more than playing the season. So are they just going to continue to jerk things around, Dan, and we're not going to end up with a baseball season when yesterday it looked like we had something?
Yeah, well, and I don't know anyone. You know, here's the problem with a lot of the grievances that get filed from the players. The owners don't act outside of the terms of CBA and any legalities. So if you've noticed a common theme when players go back to file grievances or whatever, what ends up happening? They lose like 100% of the time. So you could file the grievance, but you know, I think in the end it might have a settlement. You know, obviously both sides would want to, weigh out the costs of what that would cost to, you know, take it to wherever you take it. But I'm under the impression they're not interested in playing this season.
Yeah, you know, because it just seemed, you know, it almost seemed too easy because, you know, I've been thinking about this and, you know, they started putting this plan together, you know, in May and have been unable to reach any kind of agreement. And all it took was Rob Manfred and Tony Clark getting together. to work these things out? Why wasn't this done 4 weeks ago when, you know, all this crap started up? You know, it seems kind of stupid that it took so long for these guys to get together. And I understand, you know, the point with Manfred is obviously he takes all the heat, but you got to remember he works for the owners. He just can't say this is this. Whatever proposal he gets, he has to take back to the owners. You know, he was given that power to mandate a season, you know, if he chose. You know, that was given to him. That's not how it always is for him. You know, he's an employee of owners. So, you know, even though I know, again, he takes a ton of heat for being the bad guy and stuff, then, you know, he's just the front man. You always have to remember that. But Klepp runs the union. So I don't get what I don't understand is, you know, he talked to Manfred. This is what they came up with: 60 games with a possible extension to 65. Okay, great. Let's vote it in and get started so you guys can get your ass in spring training. And, you know, we don't have to see 2 or 3 weeks of incredibly horrible baseball when you're starting the season, you know, and watching starting pitchers go 3 innings because they're, you know, they're not ready to push the ceiling yet, according to their teams. And instead, we get a counter for 5 to 10 more games. Yeah, okay. I don't get it. I don't understand it, Dan, and I haven't heard anybody really give a decent explanation about it today. So that's the only conclusion I could come up with is the players don't want a season.
Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, it's incredibly, you know, disappointing to hear. And, I mean, to be honest, I mean, when they said 60 games, I mean, you and I talked about it. I didn't care. You know, I mean, it was going to suck anyways. You know, but they had, you know, I mean, I thought the players were getting everything they wanted. You know, they got the full prorated play. You know, I believe they got the 50-50 split on the TV revenue with the additional post game for next year. So I don't know, again, what they were kind of looking for or what else there could kind of be. Depending on the situation, I mean, what more could they want? You know, I mean, do you have any idea?
Their own league? I couldn't help
it. We'll get to him in a minute because there was some more fun stuff with him today too. But yeah, I'm just kind of baffled. You know, as to what, and obviously, you know, they've already, you know, they want the season to end, you know, in September. They don't want to run games into October. So obviously, you know, you're going to need the 60, 65, maybe 70 game schedule. But remember yesterday, the schedule they proposed only had 10 days off. If you add, and that was with 60 games, if you add 10 more games, are we going to, you know, if they were to play this, are we going to listen to these guys piss and moan about not getting days off then? You know, would that be the next thing if this was actually accepted?
Yeah, I think it's definitely in the cards.
So, yeah, I mean, I've kind of resigned myself to we weren't going to have baseball anyways. I think you were in the same boat. Schomburg Stewart finally come around to that point. He was convinced for a while we were going to get something. But, I think, you know, the Sports Time Radio crew was kind of agreed that we would get nothing. After yesterday, I thought, hey, okay, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And as it turned out, that light had a frickin' train connected to it. And it just seems to have ran any fan over that thought there was going to be a season. And I guess that leads me to my final question on this, Dan. how much more of this crap are fans going to take? I mean, you seem like you're fed up. You know, and I mean, you're obviously a pretty big fan. I think you may even be more fed up than I am. You know, how much more are these other fans going to put up with?
I don't think much more. I think, you know, you've got to have someone to just come out and give me a minute.
See, Dan's dogs are even fed up. That's how bad it is. So that's
yeah.
I
don't know. I just it's just annoying. It's the one. The back and forth. I mean, well, and I, you know, how much of it do we get fed up because the media has to put their spin on it and kind of get you under, you know, get under your skin? Like there's, like that's all they do. That's the only thing I realize that the media does anymore is, you know, forget facts or anything like that. Just find the things that are going to upset people and just, you know, drill it in. Just drill it in.
Yeah,
you know, go watch.
Later in the podcast too. So, did you read my cliff notes or something for today's podcast? You're all over
yeah.
everything I was going to talk about.
You know, I mean, go watch the Hunger Games, the second one, and right before they start the you know the actual Hunger Game in the movie, the scene between President White Snow and then the head game maker. Watch that scene, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's just funny how you know, Hollywood can definitely. No, you have to watch. You have to watch. Yeah, that's
well,
the one where
I've
they're a team.
It,
and,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, don't you know the games itself? That's not the point. You got to watch that scene before the games start, and President Snow and the head game maker are having a conversation. About how to, or maybe not before the games, but on how to make Katniss, you know, everyone hate her. So you got to see it. You just got to watch it. But, you know, I mean, it's one thing to not agree, but I think it's another thing to just drag on and cry about, you know, the millions of dollars that I'll never see. And, you know, we're the ones who support it, you know, without me and all the other, you know, at this point, you're making us look like dumbasses that go and blow our money at baseball games, you wouldn't even have a job. You know, to be honest, let's be honest, they wouldn't. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Just sit there and, you know, cry back and forth. And to not take him, you know, and that's the thing I think that pisses me off the most is, well, we want the agreement that we first had. Well, the circumstances were one way, and now the circumstances have changed, and you're not even looking to take that into consideration. You know, Big Jack, you and I look, well, I don't know about you so much. Luckily, you know, during that whole scare, we were both working. But if either one of us weren't working, what would happen? You know, I mean, you're technically under a contract because of the union and stuff, but if you weren't working, you wouldn't get paid.
No. So, and to be honest, you know, I got sick. You know, I missed 5 weeks of work, and they decided to only pay me for two of them. So my company decided I could go 3 weeks without being paid. So that's I was legitimately sick. They did the thing, kind of like baseball did, where they've actually offered guys, you know, you don't have to report. You know, and like at my work, if you were high risk, they offered you the opportunity to take the time off until you felt safe to return. Unfortunately, I got sick. I had all the doctor documentation. I had all everything I needed to be paid, and they decided it was only good for 2 weeks, where if I would have filed a disability claim like I thought I was going to have to do, I would have gotten paid for, you know, about 3.5 weeks. So, you know, I'm not incredibly happy right now with it, but, you know, that's what they decided to do, and I went to my union, and my union told me that they couldn't help me. So I'm really thrilled about giving them $25 a week to support me, because that's going right down the toilet as well. So there you go. But yeah, luckily, you know, my job is deemed essential. Yeah. Yeah, I should have, you know, my job is deemed essential. So we worked, you know, all through, you know, we're working all through this, and we'll continue to work. And not only are we working, we're busier than we have any right to be this time of year, you know, because with the shutdowns, we're one of the few ways you can get stuff. So it's just been crazy, and they expected this all the way till next year. So, you know, my company's making money hand over fist, but they only saw fit to give me 2 weeks of it after being there for coming up on 25 years. So congratulations to me. But yeah, I guess what I'm wondering now, Dan, is, you know, obviously the last time there was a big downer in baseball, we had Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire there to save it. Obviously they had some help. You know, what can baseball do now? I mean, Dan, they only pumped up the home run numbers last year by using a different baseball than flu flyer. So, I mean, you know, you can't have guys hit 70 home runs. What can they do to, you know, I mean, you add the fact that it was difficult enough for them to draw fans as it was, because the younger generation just doesn't have a great interest in baseball because you have to pay attention. Is there an option to get people back at this point in time? I mean, what are they going to have to try to do?
Honestly, everything I'm going to say except for one thing is going to happen. And, you know, first of all, you know, like, kind of going back to what just makes me set up so much too is, you know, like you said, they're going back and forth over money, which billionaires fighting with millionaires, poor you guys. But the other part of it is just make a decision. You are too, there should have been a cutoff date. You know, I feel like the NFL is good for doing stuff like that. All right, no, we got to get it done by this date. And if we don't, you know, that's it. And I think that's the thing that's driving us nuts is there has to be a cutoff. You know, I mean, quit going back and forth. But, you know, just make the damn decision already that there's not going to be a season. Just end it. And I wish there was a player who could come out and say, you know, there's no point. There's literally no point. The championship season will not mean as much to me because, you know, we're not going up the way we're supposed, you know, what we traditionally do and blah, blah, blah. So you go forth with that. Just end it. End the season. Find a way to agree to null and, I don't want to say null and void, but to start the negotiations now for a new CBA and get that into place right away. You know, try to get that in before the next season or just start the negotiations now. But start working on the CBA now. You know, bring in the universal DH. I mean, you know, the biggest advantage with that is, I mean, I'm a National League guy. I like seeing the pitcher hit. But, you know, with the way contracts are and everything, you know, I don't want to see $30 million pitcher getting hurt running the bases. You know, say it how you want. I don't agree with, like you said, the way reporters turn them into be like they can't play the game, they don't know how to hit. I think you could incorporate that and still allow a pitcher, if he chooses, to hit the ball, like Shohei Ohtani. So, you know, kind of go forward with that. But, I mean, they need to institute some new things to draw people back. Get rid of extra innings. Just flat out get rid of it. You know, I don't know if you want to continue with the wins and losses. I still think it's a great way, but maybe instituting a program like hockey, the NHL has, where you get points and completely eliminate extra innings. You know, because let's be honest, is that really going to upset the owners? And I can kind of twofold that because they're off at, you know, such and such hour. So by the seventh inning, beer is cut off, you know. So you're not making those alcohol sales. All food vendors start wrapping up, and all you've got is basically the leftovers, you know. That personal pizza that's been sitting in that hot machine for an hour now is all crusty and gross anyways. So just cut it off and do like I think we discussed this. Do a home run derby type thing real quick. Your best two best hitters go back and forth. Or don't, and just reinstitute ties. I mean, it's just get it over with. You know, you want to draw people back. You want to make it exciting. Yeah, you know, we already did the steroids thing, and that blew up in their face. But you can't do that again. You know, the new baseball lie, you can't go forward with that. They try to sneak these things in. And, you know, with that baseball thing, doesn't that make you feel like, oh, I think they really did know about the steroids, you know, things like that. So I think if you went with those two things to begin with, you know, just kind of a start there and redoing the instant replay. But, you know, I gotta take a couple minutes to pick up my tire. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that? And, you know, what changes do you think they need to make right now to get people to go back?
So, yeah, well, I'm actually going to switch topics while Dan is away, because I want to jump into this whole Kyrie Irving mess again, because apparently now Kyrie feels attacked and like the victim. And I found it interesting that one of the, I don't know if you want to call it attacks or how you want it, came from his former teammate Kendrick Perkins. Now, Perkins played with him, I believe, in Cleveland, and then for just a short period of time in Boston. And Perkins mentioned that he's not sure, and here's the quote. Let me get the quote he used here. Come on, where is it? Okay, this is kind of a long one, but I'll go with it. It says, here's my thing. During that time, where were you at then? That was the time to speak up, because now what happened is last week Kyrie reached out to the Players Association and asked them, hey, can inactive players travel? I want to be with my team and be part of the team. He was asking to go to Orlando. Now all of a sudden they tell him, no, inactive players can't go. Now all of a sudden you change your mind. My problem with it is it coming from a genuine place. I'm not questioning where his heart is, but to me it's just stirring the pot and it's dividing the Players Association, and it's not a good thing right now. Okay, now that's coming from a former player, you know, Kendrick Perkins, obviously. And, you know, Perkins, he has no issue, you know, stating his opinion and, you know, those kind of things. But he brings up an interesting point, you know, about how Kyrie wasn't against the restart of the league until he was informed that inactive players couldn't go. Now, I don't know, you know, nobody's going to know his true motivation, you know, what the deal is with Kyrie. I mean, he has, you know, such kind of an odd history. And, you know, we went over it a little yesterday, from the, you know, the issues with being the second fiddle to LeBron, you know, and then, you know, actually taking the mic and telling the Boston fans how, you know, he looked forward to a long career here, and then immediately signing with the Brooklyn Nets as soon as he became a free agent. You know, so again, you know, this kind of makes me wonder, you know, is this the guy I want to hook my leash to, so to speak, or chain my wagon to, however you want to look at it, you know, put all my eggs in his basket. That's probably a better analogy at this point in time. So yeah, I don't know. So you can kind of see where the questions come. And again, this is from a former NBA player, you know, and I know, you know, Perkins did get a little insulting. There's another quote that, he said on the Get Up show on the Mickey Mouse Network. If you take Kyrie Irving's brain and put it in a bird right now, guess what that bird is going to do? It's going to fly backwards, because Kyrie is confused right now. He's showing his lack of leadership. So, you know, he was a little rough on Kyrie, you know, and then, you know, Kevin Durant, came out on the attack, and you know, he went after you know, he went after Perkins with a tweet, and let me see if I can find it here. What did they say? Yeah, it just looks like he took a shot at his playing ability. It says, "It's all good, Perk. Real NBA fans know you were one of the most lethal hoppers back in the day." So there you go. I guess that was, and here's what they got. He posted a video of Perkins, who at the time was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, chucking up an embarrassing air ball. So I guess that was Durant's response to the whole thing. And, you know, again, I mean, it's not that Kyrie Irving had some bad points. You know, obviously there's going to be some concerns when you're dealing with this. I mean, you know, you've got to wonder what are the bubble rules exactly going to be? You know, I mean, how is testing going to be done? You know, there's going to be quite a few questions that come with this. But I think it was just more the problem of, I didn't like the fact that he was kind of recruiting guys. And I really think, you know, I mean, these are grown men. Let them make their own decision. You know, I mean, like there was, you know, like there was a lot of talk that, you know, Dwight Howard had showed some support for Kyrie and that he considered not playing. But the Lakers have come out today and said they fully expect Dwight Howard to show up. You know, Avery Bradley is another player who, you know, supported possibly not playing. But again, there's been no word on if he, you know, he's not going to go yet. There's been one NBA player who said he won't be reporting. You know, I mean, obviously, maybe something will come out as we get closer to it. You know, and again, I mean, I understand we've got to see these bubble rules, and apparently there's a 100-page plan that the NBA has proposed. So I just don't kind of know how they're going to do it. You know, some of the things are vague, like, they ask, how often will people be tested? And the NBA says they plan to test them regularly. Okay, now what does regularly mean? You know, we're talking, you know, regularly daily, regularly weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. You know, I mean, at my age, regular to me is a whole different thing than it is to a lot of people. I don't kind of know which way they're going to go there. You know, and then, of course, the question becomes, what happens if a player does have positive? You know, they mentioned that there's a rest and recovery period of at least 14 days, but doesn't really spell out, will it get everything down? So, you know, I don't know how that works. I mean, do you just take that one player out and you let them keep going? I mean, what if that one player is LeBron James or Kawhi Leonard or Giannis Antetokounmpo? You know, or Zion Williamson, who, you know, you're going to get big TV money for every time the Pelicans go up, even though they're not winning anymore. You know, does that affect the league stuff at all? So, you know, we have a lot of legitimate questions. I just don't know if he was the right front runner. You know, maybe if it would have been one of the other vice presidents or maybe a star player voicing these concerns, we might be looking at things a little differently. But, you know, the fact that it was Kyrie Irving, you know, I think people put an asterisk to it right from the beginning. So I don't really know, you know, I mean, nobody really knows what it's going to be like or, you know, how it's going to be. But again, you know, he seemed to kind of shoot himself in the foot because he didn't start to rally against this until he was told that inactive players weren't going to be allowed to be with the team, and he's an inactive player, so he can't be there. So, that's immediately going to raise red flags, and, that's what Kendrick Perkins caught. So you would like to think that his motives were proper and good motives, but there's always gonna be questions. When these things kind of come up, and unfortunately, that's just where he is now. It's part of the questions with him. And I don't know. Hopefully he's not right, and there won't be any issues, and there won't be any problems. But again, his points weren't bad. It was just he was the guy making them, and I think that hurt him. So I don't know, Dan. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, at least he didn't start talking about the flat Earth stuff, right?
Yeah, thank God. Maybe that's next. We'll have to see how it goes. I'm not quite sure. And I know, the NBA, they've said that if a player doesn't want to go, that he doesn't have to go. That's completely up to them. But, and they have said right up front, unlike baseball, that there would be a salary discrepancy. I don't know how they would work that out. So, we'll have to see how that works out. But, the NBA has came right out and said that, so the people know up front. If you don't go, there will be your paycheck will look a little different. Honestly, what I'm surprised I haven't heard more about, Dan, is, just from the news report, one of the more susceptible, age groups, I guess you could say, to this COVID-19 is senior citizens. And a lot of the, I think there's probably four, maybe five NBA coaches, so a lot is probably a bad analogy. But obviously, there's a few of them that are past the 65 range or older. So, I am kind of interested to know, if or how they're, will there be a special way to maybe to protect these coaches differently? I know I did see yesterday that they had talked about not allowing the assistant coaches to sit on the bench with the players. And they would sit back in either the first row or the second row to try to sustain some kind of social distancing. But if they're going to come down and get in the huddle with the players, I don't think that's really going to matter. That would just be more to look. But I don't know. I mean, do you have any ideas how they can handle the older coaches? I mean, obviously you can't discriminate against them because of their age. But you also don't want them to get sick. So you got any ideas there?
He could have a stand-in, and he could be sitting in a booth or, somewhere else in the stadium, and we could FaceTime or Zoom. Or, maybe you wouldn't want to Zoom because of all the hacking issues that were going on. But, a league issued iPad, I don't know, get FaceTime. So I think that they could work around that. I don't think that would be too big of an issue, with today's era. But then again, this is the same league that still has the referees watch a 27-inch, 32-inch TV screen for instant replay. So.
You know, originally, the NBA said that it would be okay for players to freely kind of come and go from the campus, but that actually has been adjusted now, Dan. They've now said that if a player leaves the campus without approval, you know, if they just decide they want to go out on the town or whatever, upon return, that player has to go into an immediate 10-day quarantine. So, you know, in reality, these guys shouldn't have any reason to leave campus because you damn well know they're going to have everything they're going to need right there.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to make sure of that. You know, I think the only thing they may be missing, maybe the nightlife, which, you know, the NBA is kind of famous for, especially in Miami. So, you would like to think that these guys could get by for a month or two without having to go out and party. And again, I don't know if there will be alcohol either. I mean, that's something that we just don't care about. But I can't see any real reason to wanting to leave. Can you?
No. With this whole thing, I would say my issue concern, how long is this playoff tournament going to take? You know, when are we starting? Is it the 1st of July?
Well, I don't believe, I don't know if they've even approved anything yet. But,
that's great. You're going to wrap up the season 3-4 months after, what was happening. You know, you're kind of wrapping that up or whatever. But at the same time, the NBA is notorious for the longest playoff season series for all four that there is in all of sports. And so you anticipate it 2 months, at least that's what I'm anticipating, because, these guys can't play back-to-back, God forbid. There won't be any travel included, so it's not like they have to go anywhere. So I don't know if that'll speed things up a little bit. But you started in July, mid-July, you go through August, maybe you hit a week or two in September, and then everyone goes home for a season that starts by Halloween.
Maybe I have the dates for you. The plan right now is to start July 30th. With the end being the latest the finals could go would be September 30th. So it would be 2 full months of basketball.
Yeah, here's the same thing kind of with the NBA or the MLB. just cut it off. Just quit. These guys already complain enough, they can't play back-to-back, which in certain senses, it didn't make sense to me sometimes. Like, hey, the Bulls are playing in Miami, tonight, and then tomorrow night they're playing in Chicago versus Miami. That one, I don't know. That one always seemed kind of off to me because, it's an East Coast game, so, yeah, it's a 6 o'clock start. They're done by 8, but these guys aren't leaving the stadium till probably 10 o'clock after their mandatory interviews and things like that, and then get to the hotel. So what do you have, like a 12 o'clock flight? Yeah, maybe it's not the end of the world, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, that one I could see. If you're traveling from Chicago to Milwaukee, I think you could handle a back-to-back. But they already complain about that, and now you're going to have 1 month of – kind of off season. It doesn't make sense to me.
They actually have discussed pushing the start of the next season back till Christmas.
Oh wow.
And opening with that, Christmas Day has kind of become the NBA's day. They talk about, again, none of this is official. This is just stuff they're throwing out there. But, yeah, they've mentioned since, obviously they're going to have the draft and a free agency period and, teams the draft and playing players and all the stuff that goes with that. They've talked about pushing back the start. Yeah, I know one of the proposed plans was, you come out Christmas Day with your big matchups, you know, everybody plays, but you feature your big matchups on, you know, ABC, the Mickey Mouse Network, and TNT, and then you go from there. Now, what they didn't say is if they started on Christmas Day, would they still play 82 games? That's the one thing that I didn't know, but that was one of the options that it came out for next year. You know, again, and that's kind of, you know, we'll have to wait and see how that all goes. But that's kind of where the NBA is at.
Well, I mean, it's not a bad deal. And if you cut the season down to 60 games so that you could have, you know, you're still 3 months of freaking playoffs. I don't know. To be honest with you, though, Big Jack, if they started for the NBA, I think actually starting the season on Christmas Day would kind of be better for them going forward. You know, oh, you're crazy, Dan the Man. That's not a good idea. Well, think about it. You know, people may not be jumping on, even unless you're a hardcore NBAer. But, you know, if your baseball team is in the playoffs, well, you're going to be watching that. You're not really going to be tuned into the NFL or the NBA. And then, you know, the NFL is kind of going on that entire time. So, you know, and then obviously they're overlapped with the NHL. But if you think about it, you start on Christmas, you're going to get those ratings, unless, of course, Christmas falls out. Well, it doesn't fall on a Monday this year, so we don't have to worry about that, or Sunday. But, you know, the NFL is still going to cross over a little bit because, you know, Christmas is on a weekend this year. But, you know, kind of going forward, if you think about it, it'd be great for the NBA because then they can completely restructure their TV deals because, you know, they have the – what was it? They do Sunday basketball after, you know, the NFL's gone, and you would only cross over for over, you know, about a month, almost 2 months. You know, I mean, you'd have that overlap with baseball, but I don't know. I think they could definitely work out. And with the NBA being very popular with young people, I think, you know, and then kids not being in school, it might not be a bad deal. And then to still have your playoffs going on, you know, around the time Major League Baseball's All-Star game happens, I don't know. To me, it actually sounds kind of like a good plan for them to kind of stumble into if they're able to continuously work that out. And, I mean, let's be honest. The players have mentioned, you know, coming from the Kings down, how kind of insignificant the regular season can be. You know, they need their rest, their, you know, that kind of stuff. But if you drop that season down 20 games or so, it might not be a bad deal for the NBA all around. You know,
what the problem is.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're going to say.
What am I going to say?
The owners lose them 10 games of revenue.
and you know the thing, right?
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, add another two teams, you know, to each side in the playoffs, and pretty much everyone's going to have that playoff revenue. So, except for, you know, the four teams that are tanking.
Yeah. See, what I thought might work for them is, you know, they could start the season the day after Thanksgiving or the weekend of Thanksgiving, and this way they could get a month worth of games in before Christmas. Because, you know, my fear with Christmas is you'd come out and that would be opening day and you'd get some crappy basketball. So I figure this way they would have at least a month under their belt to kind of get warmed up and hit Christmas. And oddly, you know, they could still play the 82 games if they wanted to. It's just a matter of cutting down on some of those off days, and it's not even playing back-to-back. But, you know, there's days where, you know, a team will play on a Saturday, and then they don't play again until Thursday.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a matter of tightening the schedule up some. You know, but then, of course, we'd have to listen to LeBron crying about how he wants time with his family. When he needed time with his family, he went to Miami to party and then Dallas for a football game. But, hey, that's a whole other story, and that's between LeBron and his family. I don't care how that works out. So I'm just stating the fact of what he did. So, you know, I mean, you could work out these issues. It's just, can you get the players' union to agree, which is always the difficult thing. But, you know, Dan, the problem is if you give up those games, you give up those TV money, are the players going to be able to be willing to give up that salary money, because that's what it's going to affect?
Well, and, you know, I was going to make a comment about the stadiums, because, you know, the trouble with some of the scheduling is the fact that the, you know, baseball and football, they outright, they may not own their stadiums, but they have exclusive rights. So, you know, that's the biggest difference between the NHL, NBA versus MLB and NFL. You know, we're not, the Cubs aren't getting preempted for, you know, the Grateful Dead, whatever you call it today, you know, without Jerry, for those concerts, you know, or Dave Matthews Band, you know, you're not missing out. You know, the Cubs game aren't, you know, Cubs aren't getting kicked out for Dave Matthews Band at, you know, Wrigley, where, you know, here in Chicago, we've had to, you know, they always talk about the circus tour. And for, you know, years, I was like, what are they talking about, the circus tour? And then I realized it was because Barnum and Bailey's was at, you know, the UC for what, 2 weeks? So for that 2 weeks, the Blackhawks and the Bulls were everywhere. You know, they weren't here. And I think that's the part that sucks for the NBA, is that they get stuck with that.
But, Dan, what I want to know is, would they postpone the Cubs for Cleveland?
Maybe. I think that's in the cards. I'll be back in a couple minutes.
So. All right. Well, while Dan wanders off, I'll swap subjects again because Dan is gone. And now I heard an interesting thing. Now, obviously, you know, with all the Black Lives Matters movements and the protestings with the riot and the looting and stuff, this has led to a lot of talk about Colin Kaepernick and if he'll return to the NFL. And again, you know, I heard one of the just kind of an asinine thing, and I'm disappointed that I didn't get the name on who reported it, because how I heard it was I heard a radio sports report, and this reporter was reporting on another reporter's story, so I didn't get the name who've actually started this, and that disappoints me because this guy basically needs to just be kicked in the Canucks. He mentioned how the Chargers were the only team in the NFL that were going to give Colin Kaepernick a chance. Now, obviously, A, this isn't true because nobody has signed Colin Kaepernick yet, and there's been quite a few talk. Nothing's been official. I don't believe any team has made contact with Kaepernick, but there's been a lot of talk about different teams and where he could go and how it could work out. So to say it's only going to be the Chargers was kind of stupid right off the bat. But then he threw out the fact that the Chargers were the team that were going to bring him in because they had a black head coach. Well, just off the top of my head, I believe the Steelers have a black head coach. And I also believe the Miami Dolphins are coached, have a black head coach. So, you know, and obviously there probably should be some more, and, you know, maybe with everything going on, that'll help the NFL diversify with head coaching. But, you know, just to kind of pinpoint it like that and be like, oh, yeah, you know, these other teams are blackballing Colin Kaepernick, and it's because of this, and, you know, the Chargers do it because they have a black head coach. Did you ever think it's possible the Chargers are doing it because the two quarterbacks on their roster right now are Tyrod Taylor, who's a journeyman NFL quarterback, and had a starting opportunity in, I believe, Buffalo, and didn't do all that well, and Justin Herbert, who they just spent the number one draft pick on. I believe he was the sixth pick after Tua Tagovailoa. I just wanted to say that name. So maybe that has a little more to do with their interest in bringing Kaepernick in than the fact that their coach is black. And it just really kind of bothered me that this guy made a deal of pointing out that the only reason Kaepernick was even getting a look was because the head coach was black. Do you honestly think in the NFL, if there was a team out there that thought Kaepernick could help them win, no matter what color anybody was, they wouldn't sign him? this is the NFL we're talking about. You know, it's only 16 games, and these guys want to win. What I did find it humorous is, obviously, like I mentioned, one of the teams he left out, the Pittsburgh Steelers, could probably use Kaepernick as a backup to Ben Roethlisberger. I did hear their name brought up today. Again, there's been no teams, I think with the exception of maybe the Seahawks, who have expressed any interest in, you know, in Kaepernick. And it really wasn't even interest. It was more just Pete Carroll saying they should have signed him 4 years ago. So, I don't know. And, you know, obviously, you know, if Kaepernick wants to play in the NFL, the path has made clear. You know, Roger Goodell said he would love to see a team sign him. And to be fair, Goodell has never said that he didn't want to see him in the NFL. But, again, you're talking about a commissioner who works for the owners. And, you know, if you remember, you know, and you have to kind of remember how this worked with Kaepernick. When he started kneeling, it was looked upon as disrespectful to the American flag. Now, with all this going on, a lot of that has changed now. Because originally, you know, the Baltimore Ravens had looked into signing him. But you have to remember, the Ravens are very close to Annapolis, which, of course, is the top-notch naval facility there. And there was a lot of backlash there because, again, at the time it was looked at being, you know, against the American flag, which is something, you know, that obviously a bunch of people in the Navy aren't going to handle. And if they would have signed Kaepernick, it would have hurt their fan base. So they passed on it. Now, I don't know the other team's reasons for not signing. I mean, obviously, if you've got a Tom Brady or a Drew Brees or, you know, a Mitchell Trubisky, and I'm just kidding about the last one, you probably didn't want to deal with the distraction that Kaepernick was going to bring into your locker room. So, Ian, you know, I understand that. And, you know, you do have to wonder if or when or how he signs somewhere now. You know, I'm kind of thinking it's going to have to be a team with an established quarterback, like a Seattle, like a Pittsburgh, maybe a Houston. So there's no real controversy on, because the next thing you know the media is going to jump on is, why isn't he the starter? Now, again, we're talking about a guy that the San Francisco 49ers thought Blaine Gabbert was a better fit at quarterback then. So to think that he's been out of the game for 4 years now, that he's going to walk in and be able to start for an NFL team may be a little bit far-fetched. But, you know, that ain't going to stop the media from jumping all over it, because that's what they do. You know, again, it was a lot like this story. You know, they basically didn't even explain who the Chargers' other quarterbacks were. They simply went for the angle of color because it's popular right now. All right, it had nothing to do with anybody's ability or anybody who was on the team. They matched up black head coach with Colin Kaepernick and fit them together in a time where there's a big movement for Black Lives Matter. That's all they did. They didn't do any research. You know, they didn't look in to see, you know, what the Chargers' salary cap was, who the Chargers' quarterbacks were, what kind of offense the Chargers run. They didn't do any of that. They just put black and black together, and they decided this was a match. Now, again, maybe it's a good fit. Maybe it's not a bad idea for him to go to San Diego and possibly tutor Justin Herbert, but, you know, again, we're looking at Tyrod Taylor and Justin Herbert with Colin Kaepernick. You're in a pretty tough division with the Kansas City Chiefs there. Does that help you compete? I don't know. You know, I don't think it does, because the Chiefs are just that good. So, if the Chargers want to sign him, great. You know, I mean, I don't care who signs him. And as, you know, Dan can attest, I've advocated for teams to sign him all along. You know, I thought there were fits for him. And to be honest, I would love to see the Bears bring him in and let him compete with Trubisky and Foles, because I wouldn't be surprised if he's the better of the three. But, you know, that's just my opinion.
Oh. Yeah, and the other, you know, I mean, my only, I don't even want to say concern or issue, but is if he gets hired, what happens when he doesn't make the team?
Yeah, well, you know, I think that may also be a team's concern, is you've got to figure out, you know, if he comes into a team like San Diego and he doesn't start, you know there's going to be a lot of media questions there. But there's been a lot of talk about possibly the Patriots. Now, you know, the Patriots only like to carry two quarterbacks. It looks like they're really set on Jarrett Stidham being the starter. You know, Brian Hoyer has been in that system for quite a few years. He may actually be the better fit as a backup there than Kaepernick. If they were to cut Kaepernick, how much of an issue would that be?
Oh, and especially with the history of Boston.
You know, it, I mean, and it's, you know, it's so weird that, you know, they almost kind of try to use him as a race card, and it's not fair to him. You know, I mean, he is a talented NFL level type player, and they need to look at him as that. You know, I mean, you can't look at him as a black quarterback. And I mean, I believe technically he's half white, isn't his mother white? I believe. So
yeah,
I believe one of his parents is white. You know, either way, it, you know, it doesn't matter. But you know, he can't be looked at as a race symbol when it comes along to those lines. You have to be able to evaluate him as a football player. You know, and that's where it breaks down. Of is he good enough to be on this team? And I don't honestly believe he's good enough right now to be a starter. You know, he's been out of the game a long time. I think he's 33 or 34. When you sit out, your skills don't get better. You know, even if you're just a backup and you're practicing, at least you're going through the motions. You know, I would be shocked if he's football ready right now. I don't think it would take him long to get there. But again, you know, I mean, we're looking at a guy who, you know, and then of course, you know, you have to wonder the other questions. A, does he want to play? And B, is he willing to accept the role as a backup quarterback? I mean, we haven't heard from him. It's just everybody talking for him.
Yeah.
So yeah, you know, I mean, there's just a ton of questions, but yeah, I was just kind of, maybe not offended, but I was just kind of amazed at the irresponsible reporting that, you know, they immediately assumed that Colin Kaepernick would get a tryout with the Chargers because their head coach was black. You know, and again, they didn't mention that they had a journeyman in Tyrod Taylor and a rookie that they had just drafted as the quarterback on the roster. So, you know, again, it's the media leaving out portions of a story to fit their narrative. And it's just crap because, you know, in a situation like this, that's the last thing we need. So it just made me kind of goofy, but maybe that was just me. I don't know. I get like that sometimes. You know how I am.
Bum, 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 bum. Dun, dun.
Time
Radio.com.